Case number 21-5009, Scotts Valley Band of Pomo Indians versus United States Department of the Interior et al., Yocha Dihi Wintun Nation, Appellant. Mr. Adams for the Appellant, Mr. Bergen for the Appellee Scotts Valley Band of Pomo Indians, Ms. Jill Akimari for the Federal Appellees.
All right, Mr. Adams, good morning. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. Yocha Dihi seeks to intervene in defense of a Department of Interior Indian Lands opinion that denies the Scotts Valley Band's request for permission to develop a casino. As things stand today, the opinion shields us from significant harm to our governmental, cultural, and economic interests, harm that is set out in declarations that have never been disputed at any stage of this case. If Scotts Valley were to prevail on the merits, though, the opinion would be vacated. The matter would be returned to the Department of the Interior, and on remand, Interior would be prevented from applying the regulatory requirement on which the opinion is based. This is the significant historical connection requirement of 25 CFR 292.12b. In other words, if Scotts Valley wins, Interior cannot reach the same result on remand. We have a concrete, particularized stake in the rule that's currently in place, and the threatened loss of that rule is imminent injury in fact, under this court's precedent. On intervention as of right, the disputed issues are standing, impairment of interest, and inadequacy of representation. Unless the panel has other direction for me, I'll start with standing. Settled law, Crossroads, Fund for Animals, gives us a standing test for a party intervening in defense of agency action. Intervenor has standing if it benefits from the agency action. The action's challenged, and an unfavorable outcome would remove the benefit, and that's what we have here. The opinion benefits Yocha Dihi by protecting it from harm. Scotts Valley has challenged it, and if Scotts Valley is successful, again, the opinion would be vacated, Interior would be foreclosed from reaching the same result on a remand. Appellee's primary reliance is on the Deutsche Bank case, but that decision does not control here. First of all, it was not a case involving intervention in defense of agency action. It predates Crossroads. Doesn't change the rule that the loss of a favorable agency action is itself an imminent concrete injury in fact. Deutsche Bank is cited in Appellee's briefs for the proposition that if a threshold legal determination must come out a certain way, standing is less likely. But that statement had to do with whether the Deutsche Bank intervener had a contractual interest in the funds at issue in the case, not the question of imminence of injury, which is what's at issue here. Here, there's no threshold determination that's needed to establish Yojidi's interest in keeping the opinion in place. That interest exists right now. And then finally—
excuse me, just 1 minute. Interest in the matter under litigation is, if you want the mandatory intervention, what is your interest, that would legally protectable interest that would be involved in this litigation?
Yeah, so Your Honor, it is, similar to the interest that was at stake in Crossroads. So we have an interest in the rule that's currently in place. That interest is concrete and particularized, and the injury—
what is your legally protectable interest? Don't tell me how it's concrete or something. Tell me what the interest is that's being legally protected, that's being legally involved. Legally protectable interest that's involved in this litigation.
Yeah, so peeling back the layers then. So what the rule blocks is significant harm to our economic, cultural, and governmental.
It's the worst that happens eventually is that a competitor comes into the field. Now, is your desire to not have a competitor in the field, is that a legally protectable interest?
It is in this case, Your Honor.
Yeah, I've litigated a lot of cases from various tables on the questions that are protected by economic law like Sherman Acts in this country. And the catchphrase has always been that American competition law protects competition, not competitors. And is there a legally protectable interest on the part of a competitor against the entry by a competitor?
Well, I think this court's precedent is fairly clear that there's a legally protectable interest when there is a dispute about the imposition or removal of a regulation.
Yeah, that's clear that if there is a change in the level of the playing field, that you have an interest in the level playing field. But here you're not asking us to protect a level playing field. You're asking us to protect the incumbent against entry of competitors into the playing field. And is that a legally protectable interest?
It is, Your Honor, and let me explain why. It goes back to the relief that Scotts Valley has requested here. So Scotts Valley has requested to vacate the opinion, but they've also requested that on remand to Interior be enjoined from applying the significant historical connection requirement of 25 CFR 292.12b, right? And that regulatory provision was enacted to balance the interests of established tribes like Yojidi and restored tribes like Scotts Valley. So removing that regulation, which was designed in part to balance our interests, we think is a legally, leads to a legally protected interest. Yeah. You know, Appellee's other argument, of course, is that vacating the opinion would not give Scotts Valley the immediate right to build its casino, but Crossroads makes it clear that's not required. What matters under Crossroads is that the Indian Lands opinion conclusively denies permission for Scotts Valley's project and prevents it from proceeding. And for Yochidihi, that loss of that favorable decision is the imminent harm. And we would just point out that on that score, our position is even stronger than the Crossroads intervener. Crossroads, the federal defendant, had some discretion to reach the same result on remand. But here, again, a Scotts Valley victory would prevent Interior from reaching the same result on remand by prohibiting application of the significant historical connection requirement. I see my time is ticking down. So just very briefly on the impairment prong of the Rule 24 inquiry, the issue there is, the district court overlooked circuit law saying availability of future proceedings is not enough to deny intervention. As well as, again, Scotts Valley's request to constrain Interior's decision-making on remand. On adequacy of representation, the bar is low, and we clear it because our interests are more specific than the federal government's. That's been enough in cases like Diamond. And because the federal defendants now deny that we have any interest in the case at all. So it's more than doubtful that they could represent our interests as this litigation goes forward. Unless the panel has further questions for me, maybe I'll reserve the remainder of my time here.
All right. Ms. Chilakumari.
Good morning, Judge Henderson. Actually, by agreement with the federal defendants.
Oh, all right. Mr. Bergen.
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the court. Patrick Bergen for the Scotts Valley Band of Pomo Indians. Under this court's case law, an intervener must have standing, and to have standing, they must have an injury. And as Lujan stated, the injury must be concrete and particularized. It must be actual or imminent. The fundamental question before the panel today is whether vacating the Indian Lands opinion and remanding the case back to Interior would cause imminent harm. Yochidehi. The answer is.
Let me ask you, what about the request that the department be restrained on remand such that it could not make the type of argument that appellant maintains is protecting it here?
Thank you, Judge Rogers. So, 2 points on that. First of all, that claim in our complaint is our second claim, and that's not one of the claims that Yochidehi wishes to participate in. Second of all,
hold on, you have to speak more clearly for me so I understand. Your client is seeking to have the department enabled on remand from requiring the conditions that are, as I understand it, precisely what appellant says, protects it against action of your client seeking to build a competing casino. Does that change the legal analysis that the court has to apply?
It does not, Your Honor. Under the regulations, the Scotts Valley has to show three connections to the land in order for it to be eligible for gaming if that land is taken into trust. One of those connections is called a significant historical connection, and that requires simply that the tribe demonstrate that it have a significant historical connection to the land. This regulation is not something that's contained in the statute, and so out of the many claims that the tribe has filed in its APA action, it has stated that this requirement is not appropriate under the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. But we've also asked, you know, that the court remand because, for example, the department didn't follow its own regulations in making a decision with regard to Scotts Valley's case, and or that it didn't consider the evidence in whole. Those are the tribe's third and fourth claims, and those are the claims that Yochidehi says it wants to participate in.
I probably am not entitled to ask this question, but I'm going to anyway. Why do you care whether they intervene or not?
Well, Your Honor, the restored lands analysis really does not contemplate the involvement of third parties. The issue is whether or not Scotts Valley itself has enough connections to the land that Scotts Valley's project could go.
How would their intervention hurt your ability to raise that matter in the court? I'm probably not entitled to ask you that. You may have some strategy that you don't want to tell me. So, but tell me you don't want to answer, and I won't be mad at you if you don't want to answer that one. But I am curious as to why it matters to you whether they get in or not.
Well, I'll be frank, Your Honor. The reason it matters is because there is an Indian canon of construction that says that if there is an ambiguity in a statute that that the courts are supposed to interpret that statute favorably toward Indian tribes. Mm-hmm. If there was one, or if there was more than one Indian tribe in a case, especially when they're on opposite sides, mm-hmm. the court cannot possibly do that. So it's to our advantage to have only one Indian tribe in this case. Second of all, it's Scotts Valley's project. It's not Yochidehi's project. They were not the subject of the Indian lands opinion. They're not really referenced in the Indian lands opinion. Mm-hmm. Their connections to the land do not matter to Scotts Valley's Indian lands opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to point out that, you know, there actually may not be a benefit in this case at all to Yochidehi. And this kind of goes toward the imminence issue and also whether or not their injury is even concrete. As our brief points out, there are many hurdles for Scotts Valley to clear before it can open a gaming facility. And among these is an environmental review under NEPA and obtaining a class three gaming compact with the state of California. If the environmental review shows that the proposed casino footprint is too large and not suitable for the area, Scotts Valley may have to open a smaller casino, which would of course be less competitive, if even competitive at all. And if Scotts Valley is unable to obtain a gaming compact with California, it could still operate gaming, but it would essentially be only able to operate bingo. And a bingo hall would be no match to Yochidehi's Las Vegas style resort. If there are no further questions, I think I'm at the end of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have I lost audio? Have I lost audio or?
I hear you.
I can hear you.
I hear you.
All right, then, Ms. Chilakamari, please go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Varu Chilakamari for the United States. Not all interests give rise to the right to be a party. And while Yochidehi may have a genuine concern about a potential future competitor, that concern is not a sufficient basis to make it a co-defendant in this APA challenge to a federal determination. Yochidehi has been given the right to participate below as an amicus, and we think that is a sufficient vehicle for Yochidehi to make its views known and considered in this court. I think there are a number of reasons.
There are differences between being an amicus and being an intervener. Intervener has rights in the litigation that an amicus does not have. So giving them amicus status doesn't satisfy their potential needs, does it?
Well, it's true, Your Honor. There are differences. We think that in this particular case, though, that ability to participate in an amicus.
I'm like Judge Rogers. I'm going to ask you to slow down, speak a little more clearly, please, counsel. Sure.
So we think in this particular case, the ability to be an amicus actually does get them pretty far. For one thing, this is an APA case that will be decided on a record that's already been provided to the court. The agency's decision will have to rise or fall based on the arguments that the agency made already, not based on new evidence or post hoc rationalizations. The other thing to point out, though, is that one of the reasons I think why people want to become parties is the right to appeal. But under the DC Circuit's rule under Occidental Petroleum, a remand to the agency would not be considered a final judgment that could be immediately appealable. So I think it matters less in a case like this, whether they have, amicus standing, I think gives them all of the same ways to provide their views to the court.
So the concern, as I understand it, principally, is that the court not limit the department on remand to the conditions it can require. Why isn't that a live controversy here, in the sense that appellant is not a stranger to the matter, that how we characterize the appellee Scotts Valley has made its intention clear so the ship is moving forward, and the terms of what the future proceedings involve are at stake, and yet appellant can speak as a friend of the court, but not actually be a party.
I think I might have missed part of the question, but I think the first part was about the ability to restrict the department's authority on remand. I do want to echo, I think, what Mr. Bergen noted, which was that Yocha Dehi has disclaimed any interest in, I think, arguing about that particular claim. At JA-96 is where Yocha Dehi says that it wants to limit its focus its participation on claims 3 and 4. Claims 2 of Scotts Valley's complaint is the claim that argues that the regulation is invalid. If the district court found the regulation invalid and if the government didn't appeal, that would limit the department's consideration on remand. But Yocha Dehi has actually said that it focuses its participation on claims 3 and claims 4.
Well, we know, counsel, but parties want to focus on and what courts do are not always one and the same. So this is not some stranger being concerned, that's all. And I understand why Judge Sentell limited his question to Appellee Scott's band. But
I would
that's a little different, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would say that, Your Honor, the question for the burden on the movement is to show that it's going to be injured if the case, if Scotts Valley is successful in the case below. And while Yochidehi certainly provided information at the administrative level, and that administration was considered, and Yochidehi may have concerns about, you know, the ultimate course of events in terms of a gaming casino, it is not going to be, no, there will be no real world impact. There will be no injury, even if the case is remanded. And even
I guess what I'm getting at is Judge Sentell's point. There may be an injury, right? But the sort of protection that appellant is seeking is not one that the law provides. In other words, they'd like to operate competitor free.
Oh, I understand, Your Honor. That, I think the district court assumed without deciding that competitive injury could serve as a potential, you know, a concrete and particularized.
It can, but the question that I had was, does the competitive injury that the law protects against include the injury simply of the presence of a competitor, as opposed to some regulatory change that affected the levelness of the playing field? I don't think that's what you're addressing, and I think that's what Judge Rogers was asking you about.
I understand, Your Honor. I believe that the cases do, you know, the D.C. Circuit does recognize competitive injury, and I think the test is about whether or not you're allowing a new entrant into the market. We didn't opine on this below, obviously, and the district court, I think, didn't as well. I think because the sort of first and foremost threshold question is, even if you assume that this would satisfy competitive injury, it's not imminent. It's a speculative whether or not the casino will even be built, will even, you know, get the relevant approvals that are necessary, because the Indian Lands opinion that's at issue in this case is simply the threshold determination.
Oh, I understand. I just wonder about the implications of this type of holding in other situations. That's all. At what point does someone who sees the ship approaching and the ship is not turning around has to stand by until the ship is literally upon it?
I understand. I think I would point the court to the Sokogan Chippewa versus Babbitt case, which is cited in, I believe it's cited in Scott's.
Once Allen's again, page. Counsel, if you'll listen to how slow I'm speaking, that's how slow I listen too. So if you could kind of keep that in mind as you're talking, please.
Yes, Your Honor. I would, on this question of kind of the, when can the parties stop a ship, I would point the court to the Sokogan Chippewa versus Babbitt case that's cited in Scotts Valley's brief. The citation is 214 F3rd 941. That's a Seventh Circuit case, but it talks about this question of when you have a challenge to a, after the Indian Lands opinion, I think at that point you were in a land into trust decision, and there was a challenge by an intervener to the potential land into trust, which is the next step in this process. And the court, you know, talks about how even then it's still speculative, and because we don't even know if there will be a casino in, and even if there is a casino, we don't know how competitive and whether it will actually be a successful casino. I think that's the best case I could point you to on that issue.
All right. So you're saying the law is that you have to wait till the casino is built.
I think in terms of standing, it's an elastic concept, and the courts haven't been that clear about it. I do think it is clear that this is definitely too soon because we're at the threshold legal determination. And, you know, unfortunately, because it is an elastic concept, I think as you get closer to it, the controversy sharpens. There is question about the subsequent step. For example, if the department granted the land into trust and actually took this parcel into, took title of the parcel for the tribe, at that point, you might have a more concrete injury. But certainly, I think the law is clear that this at this point, when you only have an legal opinion, an Interior Department opinion, that is too soon in the process.
If there are no more questions, Mr. Adams, why don't you take 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it. So a few clarifications. First, we have not disclaimed anything as the federal defendants subsequently read to you, we have said we would focus our participation on certain issues, but those two words are not the same and they don't mean the same thing. Mr. Bergen mentioned that Scotts Valley has to show three connections. Just to sharpen the point that you and Judge Santel were making, the opinion already says they meet two of them, and they're seeking to enjoin Interior from applying the third. So the dispute is pretty sharp at this point. Both appellees mentioned that there were additional hurdles. I think there was a mention of an environmental review process. Those hurdles are about how Scotts Valley operates its project, not whether it can conduct gaming in the first place. And more generally, of course, Crossroads makes it clear that the existence of additional agency decision-making does not preclude standing. That was a case where there were several rounds of agency decision-making between the loss of the favorable agency action and the underlying concern that the intervener had. On competitive standing, the cases are clear. If the competitors are in the same market, competitive standing exists. And here, it's undisputed that Scotts Valley is seeking to enter Yochidiki's core gaming market. And then finally, on this Seventh Circuit case that the federal appellees mentioned, this is an issue where the distinction between the Seventh Circuit and this court really matters. Crossroads and Fund for Animals matter. Those two cases stand for the proposition that the loss of the favorable agency action itself constitutes imminent injury in fact. There's no equivalent rule articulated in the Seventh Circuit case, and the nature of the harm and the evidence at issue there were very different. Unless the court has further questions for me, I will rest there.
All right, thank you, counsel. Madam Clerk, if you would call the next case.